Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. Welcome to the show, everybody. I know what you're thinking. Jason, we have $100 million producers week in and week out. I agree with you, but here's what makes this one so cool. Haley Garcia has cracked the code. You see, she does all that business with only three agents in her little group. But here's the key. She does it with only 50 people in her VIP sphere of influence, and she expects and has built a model that gets two deals per year from each of those 50 people. You want the fastest path to doing 100 transactions and loving your life as you do it? Haley is your person. We are going to unpack this. We are going to dig in and understand the secrets. Sit back and buckle up. This is Haley Garcia. Haley, how are you?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me.
It is an honor to have you. And it's actually a unique episode because we perennially talk to 100 plus million dollar teams and agents, but it's rare that we talk to a 100 million dollar team with only three producing agents on it. And I think that's absolutely incredible. Before we get there, though, I want to go back in time. I want to hear your journey. So, Haley, how did you end up in the greatest industry in the world?
You know, it's a great story. Of course, I was straight out of high school and decided college was a waste of my time and I wasn't going to do it despite my parents' efforts. I jumped right into sales. So I started selling makeup at the mall at the Chanel counter and thought I was super fancy and having a great time. And at the age of 18 was, of course, number one in sales in makeup. And they started sending me all around the country doing fashion shows and teaching other sales teams how to do it at the age of 18, Jason, which is ridiculous looking back now. But I did it and all of a sudden was like, this isn't enough for me. Like, I'm still working for an hourly rate. Like, it wasn't satisfying.
Well, so you become number one in makeup sales. You're traveling all around the country at 18. What did you learn from that? What's the aha that you have?
You know, I really think it was the aha that I was an entrepreneur. And at that time, I didn't even know what that meant, right? I just knew that what I was doing and all the effort and energy I was putting into it wasn't rewarding enough for me from a monetary standpoint and also from a growth perspective.
Got it.
So what happened? It was the crazy story. I never had real estate on the radar. I'm a gym rat. So I'm at the gym at 5 a.m. and was way back then and was working out with a girlfriend of mine who was the personal assistant to a large real estate investor. And she was working with this luxury broker at the time as his assistant, putting all his listings on and flipping properties and doing things. And she was like, I really think you should talk to this woman. She's in real estate. She's amazing. It's all these luxury properties. Like, you should do this. And honestly, at the time, I really thought to myself, that couldn't be further from what it sounds like I want to do. But I started doing a little bit of research because she was so insistent and realized that, you know, selling houses was pretty much like selling makeup, right? I was solving a problem. And at the age of 19 to 20, I took 2 weeks vacation back to back that I banked to get my license and got my license. And I actually called that broker probably 15 times before she gave me an interview. And she finally said to me, look, kid, come in and talk to me. I'll give you 5 minutes so you'll quit calling me. And I was like, okay. And we're still friends to this day. And she sat down with me back then and said, listen, you can come on board. You're probably going to fail because most agents do. And I'll pay you $200 a file and we'll see how long you last. And my personality is very much, I love a challenge. So I immediately was like, okay, game on. And for 6 months, I did, I don't even know what the count was back then, but she was very busy, right? So I was probably helping her with 10 to 15 files a month at the age of 20 and making $200 a file. And literally, she just handed me the file and went, here you go, sink or swim. So she would obtain the lead, she would get them in the boat, and then she would hand it to me. And I mean, sink or swim was absolutely what was happening. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was determined to make it happen. And at 6 months, she said, all right, you go on full commission now. Let's see what you can do. And I sold 10 million that last 6 months. I made for sale by owner packets. I knocked on doors. I cold called, you name it, I did it. And I was with her for 9 years and did about 15 to 18 million every year for 9 years. And then decided when I was, let's see, I was 27, 28 years old, decided, well, what makes the most sense now? I'll just open my own brokerage because that sounds like a great idea. And so I did. In 2 years of opening the boutique brokerage, again, having no idea what I was doing, we did 180 million and I had 15 agents and I was sitting at a seller's breakfast table in a listing appointment and all of a sudden had this severe pain in my head and they wanted to call an ambulance and I said, no, I'm going to drive myself to the emergency room. And I called my brother on the way crying, not knowing what was wrong with me and why my head hurt so bad. They rushed me in and did an emergency CAT scan. And, you know, I'm thinking I've got a brain aneurysm, like something's really bad. And the doctor walked in and said, you're fine. You're having a panic attack. And I still to that point was so indignant. I was like, no, I'm not. You need to check again. I'm not having a panic attack. Well, the long story short was I was because I was burning the candle at both ends, not having any idea what I was doing, no structure, no systems, and really no training, right? The only training I had was go sell some houses, kid, and see how it works out. So the stars aligned. I was approached by a big boutique firm in Houston who bought me out. And I also, at that point in time, hired my first business coach, which was really, you know, all the coaches that I've had over the years, honestly, are the only reason I have the business I have today and the life I have today, right? They really taught me how to do it. They taught me how to build a business. They taught me how to think like a business owner, not just a realtor. They taught me how to, you know, run P&Ls and do performas and all the things that I could have gone to college and learned, but I didn't, right? So yeah, so I sold the boutique firm then. I stayed on with that company for several years and along the way landed here at KW, which I'm so grateful for. You know, obviously our culture and our training and all the things that we stand for at KW really help when you've got a team. And now I'm 25 years in this year.
That's an unbelievable story. So have you had a panic attack since, or was that the only one?
That was the only one. Now, I will admit, I have absolutely, you know, struggled with a little bit of anxiety here and there, which is why my yoga and my meditation practice and the things I do to now really care for myself are very important. But no, that was the only one that landed me in the emergency room and being just so annoyed that it was even happening.
Right. Well, that... I don't have time for this panic
attack. Exactly.
Doesn't it know I'm busy? I love it. Well, and it's a great story. I do find it interesting, though, that you kind of yada, yada, yada through the building phase and you just give the destination. So I went here and we did 18. I went here and we did 150. I'm now doing 150 with three people. I want to unpack the yada, yada, yada. Because in order to do $100 million in volume on an annual basis consistently with such a small group of humans, you have to be generating, number one, a lot of leads. How do you generate enough leads to do that much business? Tell me exactly how you do it.
You know, years ago, I had a coach that really shifted my mindset into thinking like a business owner. And as a business owner, for me, it meant building relationships with other business owners and with high-level executives. And so years ago, I started what I called my VIP program. And the VIP program were just really important people in my life and in my community that were business leaders. And when I was young, I went to all of them, asked for coffee, and asked them to basically mentor me and tell me, in their perspective, what should I be doing? What nonprofit should I be involved in? How should I be helping our community grow? And all of that obviously then builds relationships that generates leads. So I've run several different programs over the years. I used to do a mastermind breakfast where I had 10 to 12 business leaders in the community. And once a month.
I'm going to stop you only because I know what's happening right now. You have a bunch of real estate agents that are all losing their navigation in order to show houses right now, listening to this podcast and now trying to take notes on the window with a dry erase marker while they drive 80 miles an hour down the freeway. Stop it, y'all. I'm taking the notes today. You just sit and drive. Haley and I got this. If you want to get the notes from today's episode, go to MREANotes.com. They come out via email every Thursday. So I'm going to take the notes. Haley, unpack for me exactly how do you run a VIP program today?
Okay. So start with a list of people in your community that you may or may not know. These people should be in business. They should be part of your community. They might be part of the political side of your community. They might be part of the nonprofit side, or they might be business leaders or entrepreneurs that own small business.
So this is, I'm making my list of kind of the bell cows. Like, who's everybody looking at? Who's in business? Who's in politics? It's the who's who of the community, isn't it?
It is. It's also the ones that are really responsible for shaping the community that each of us live in, right? And some are larger than others. But if you think about who is responsible for creating the community that buyers want to buy in, those are the people you want to get to know. Not only are you going to build strong business relationships with them, as you do that, they're going to respect you as a fellow community leader, therefore rely on you when they know people need to buy and sell.
Now, do you find that when you're talking to these business owners and these politicians and these kind of connected people, do they discount a residential real estate agent as a business owner from Jump Street? Or are they open to the idea that we're business owners also?
I think they do discount until they actually meet some that run a business.
Got it. Okay. So I make my list. Then what do I do?
Make your list, then go through and really look at the triangle of trust. If you don't know them, who do you know that knows them that can make a warm introduction and get in front of them, right? This is where I preach to my team all the time. It's FaceTime. Don't make a call. Don't send a text. Don't try to go to a networking event. Really try to connect one-on-one FaceTime, even if you get 15 minutes. And you want to do so with a perspective of, tell me something I don't know. Where should I be involved in the community? How can I help you in your mission? They inevitably are going to turn around and ask you the same questions. And that's where you have to be ready to talk about who you serve and the problems you solve and what you know about the community already as a real estate agent.
Got it. So this isn't a part-time gig. This is like, I'm going to be immersive in my community and be able to speak credibly about it.
Absolutely. Jason, this is how I built my entire business. It is. For years. And this is not something that happens overnight, right? So as I talk to agents, you're not going to go do this for a month and see raving results. You're going to have to build relationships. But one of the great things, I look back now over the past 20 years and the relationships I have with some of these individuals who are amazing people are invaluable to me. Like some of them are my closest, dearest friends. I've gone on vacations. I've built businesses. I've built ancillary businesses. I serve all of their real estate needs. And it's, yes, because I sell real estate, but it's really because of the relationship and the trust that I've built, shaping our community and being part of it together.
I love that. So as you have these conversations that are based around how we can better the community together, where are you going to get your information? Are you waking up every day and reading about the community? Are you just living in it and it's coming to you by osmosis? If I'm out there and I'm in a community, how do I do that?
You know, it's a little bit of all of it. So I don't do any one thing, right? I do stay in touch with all of our local news outlets, but very high level. I actually tried not to take in news, to be quite honest. But things happening within the community, yes, I'm very involved in several nonprofits. Our Economic Development Partnership, which is the entity that's responsible for relocating major corporations in and out of our city. I sit on that board. I'm part of that event every single month so that I stay in touch with, from a corporate level, what's going on. And really outside of that, it's the conversations I'm having with these other business leaders. I don't ever feel like I need to be all things to all people. I just need to know where to go in order to get my education.
I love that. Okay, so I started by getting my list of the other business owners, the community people, people that are serving the communities, and I got it. I've now done anything I can to get a warm handoff. Who do they know that I might, so that I can get one-on-one, even if it's just 15 minutes? What's important about that initial conversation? How does it end such that the relationship doesn't?
You know, I think it's really important that you ask questions. And I teach my agents, come up with your top four or five questions you're going to ask to really get to know this person and to show that you're truly interested in them. Absolutely do not lead the conversation with your elevator pitch. You are going in to build a relationship. And my team makes fun of me all the time, but I compare it to dating. And I'm like, you guys, go back to when you were dating. You cannot go in and just word vomit everything that you want to say about yourself. They will want to run away from you. So you've got to ask questions. How did they get to the position they are? Why do they do what they do? What do they really love about our community? And what's their mission for being part of it? You know, get to know them. Always, always ask what you can do to help them, you know, provide value to them in return, and the relationship will continue. Strategically, I'm always listening for something that they have a need in, and then I try to solve the problem after the appointment. So, you know, as you talk to somebody, they'll start talking about, oh yeah, we live in such and such neighborhood and we're thinking about doing a remodel or, you know, whatever. Real estate will always circulate in the conversation. So what I try to do is really listen to those points and not necessarily address it in the meeting, but then later call or email as a follow-up and add the referral partner that will solve that problem for them and make another connection.
I love that. Okay. So we've had the meeting. It went great. Maybe I've thought of a way to add value if I'm lucky. What do I do next?
So I keep a pretty tight list of these VIPs, and I have an internal little, we'll call it a scrub system, that I kind of run them through to know if I want to add them to the list. If they are added to the list based on, number one, do I like them, right? Because I don't want to become friends with somebody I don't like. Number two, are we aligned in our values and our mission within the community and just life as a whole? I'll put them on the list, and then I start working them through my program. And some people have said to me over the years, you know, it seems really disingenuous if you're running them through a program. And I actually think it is my memory to make sure that systematically I don't miss anyone to show them that I really care. So it's a birthday, anniversary, you know, work promotion, having a baby, anything that's going on in their life. My team has a whole checklist to make sure we're tracking all of those and we're acknowledging them and staying in touch.
Well, how do you know? So you and I go out and we have lunch and it's awesome. We start with dessert. We slowly work our way back to a salad. We're both thrilled with it. Now I want to add you into my list because I believe that you like me and I believe that we're aligned. But I don't know your address. I don't know your birthday. I certainly don't know your anniversary unless we had the most amazing lunch ever. How do I get any of that?
So social media tells us a lot. LinkedIn tells us a lot. And then as I build rapport with you, I have a little form that's called an All About You form. And when it's appropriate, I will send you that in an email and go, hey, I would love to get more information about you and your partner and your kids, because we're obviously building a relationship and I want to be able to invite you guys to things that you might really be interested in and celebrate life with you. Whenever you have time, complete this form for me.
I think that's genius. I love that. So now I have the information about the human. Is everybody getting certain touches over the course of this year, this VIP group?
Yes. So they all get added to my monthly newsletter called Home with Haley. They also have the right to opt out if they don't want to receive it, right?
Okay, hang on. Let's unpack it. So now I'm in the monthly newsletter. What does that focus on? And who makes it? And how do you get it out so that you don't lose your mind and have a panic attack?
Yes. So one of my internal team members makes it and then sends it to me. And I add all the personal touches after she puts the bulk of the information in. It starts with a quick little letter from me, which I do personally write every month, and something that's going on. So this past month, I went to France for a couple of weeks. I added a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower and I wrote about the trip. And then it's broken down into segments. So the very next segment is something industry related, right? Because I still want to stay top of mind that I'm in the industry. So I made a video on the NAR settlement, of course. So that was next. Then I highlight a community highlight. So it's either something I've done with a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit that needs highlighting. It's a festival in the community benefiting somebody that gets highlighted for the month. And then we kind of work our way down. We'll add in different tips, you know, like get your AC serviced at summertime, whatever. And I have been adding in more videos, which crazy, shocking. It's upping the view rate, but that's it. And it goes out once a month, like clockwork.
Perfect. That goes out via email on a monthly basis. That's the newsletter. What's next?
So I've got a call schedule, and depending on who they are, right? I actually have several big CEOs on this list. So I'm not calling them and blowing them up all the time because number one, I'm not going to get them. And number two, they don't have time. But I will shoot a text. I will touch base. They always reply. There's a method to connect next to each one based on who they are, which is on my desk every Monday for my assistant for my touch points for every single week based on who's up next on the list.
Give me some idea of the goal. Am I trying? And I get it. Everyone, you're going to treat people as people and give them what they need and meet them where they are. That said, how often do you like to talk to them? If you had your druthers and could wave a magic wand, are we doing it once a month? Are we doing it once a week?
Once a month.
Once a month.
I don't need to talk to anybody once a week.
Who are you telling? Right. So, okay. So monthly phone call or text in a TCPA friendly and compliant way. What's next?
So next is inviting them to an event. So I host events all the time. So for the month of June, our event is actually a private happy hour at my home. So we rotate what the events are. Last month, it was a nonprofit. We had a big luncheon and they got invited to the nonprofit luncheon. But I am constantly hosting some sort of small event to send them an invite to. It doesn't mean they're going to come, right? But the purpose of the invite is another touch with a purpose.
Is this on a monthly basis you're doing an event?
Yes, they're not big events, right? Some of them are really small. Twice a year, we'll do big events, but every month we'll do something really small.
Okay, so talk to me. I'm going to call it a micro event just for fun for a second, because it sounds like, are you saying I'd rather have less people at these, but I can connect on a deeper level?
100%. Yes.
So, okay, I'm sitting out there and I'm thinking I'm going to have a micro event. What are the keys to having the best micro event?
Well, don't overthink it, right? Sometimes we get in our own way. Don't overthink it. You literally can say micro event, Saturday morning, brunch on the patio at a local restaurant, stop by and grab a cup of coffee and be on your way to take the kids to the ballgame. So it, keep it simple, but it's getting a little bit of FaceTime.
Cool. Okay, so I'm going to have a micro event on a monthly basis. You mentioned two grand events over the course of the year. Are they always the same?
No, they're different. So last year was a big holiday event, which, you know, we rotate venues and things and try to make it fun. The other event was I did a Dancing with the Stars for a big local nonprofit. And so we invited all the VIPs and took up half the space and everybody got to watch me dance and make fun of me and raise money. And it was super fun. It will be usually something involved with one of our nonprofits that I sit on a board for. And that way we're really giving back to the community and highlighting the nonprofit.
Because I know there's someone out there and they're driving right now in the Range Rover and they're thinking, you know, I'm going to invite them, but do they really want to come? Like, do people really want to come to my real estate type event? But you're saying I'm not having a real estate event. I'm having, that's the trick here.
It is. I am very rarely talking or putting anything real estate related in front of them. Very rarely. And yet they all know 100% of the time they call me for every real estate need they have.
Okay. So I got the newsletter on a monthly basis. I got the call and text in a TCPA friendly compliant way on a monthly basis, if not more, depending on the human. I got the micro events on a monthly basis. Don't overthink it. More human, more often. I have two grand events, which sounds like they're going to be awesome. What's next?
That's it. That's literally it. You work the system. And then as you work your system, you make tweaks along the way for what works and what doesn't work, right? But you stay consistent.
You mentioned I'm checking their birthday. I'm checking their anniversary. Is there any gift giving involved with those things?
Yes, there is a whole overlap. I forgot to mention that. There is an overlap of gifting on every single one of them. And what we do over the relationship course is we're gathering information about the human to gift that is appropriate.
We did a show with Caroline Hugh out of Northern California. She's a genius, by the way. Oh my gosh, so powerful. If you haven't listened to that show, go listen to that show. And she said that for her, the key to gift giving is if you know me, then show me, as opposed to ordering like 200 of the same hat and putting a logo on it.
Yes, 1,000%.
So when you're giving these gifts, and I got to ask only because I promise you, everyone out there is thinking, is there a price range in mind? Are there a couple of gifts that you find work really well? Walk me through the thinking.
There's no hard method to it. What I do is I think about the relationship and the person and what is the gift for. So I will attach a value, whether it's $100, $200, whatever it might be, to the purpose of the gift. And I know that sounds a little loose from the way of a system, but it's honestly the truth because I am in relationship with these people. So some of them, I don't need to spend a lot of money in order to make an impact. And in other cases, I might.
So when someone is in this VIP group, they're getting a lot of touches and they're getting a lot of value.
Yes.
How many people are you able to curate in a group like this? Do you just have thousands and thousands of people?
No. So I keep my list at 50. There is no more than 50. And if I start tipping over 50, unfortunately, I will scrump the list and somebody will get removed.
Oh my gosh. So this show is called the MREA Podcast. The namesake is a book that Gary Keller and Jay Papasan and Dave Jenks wrote all these years ago. And it said that for Mets, for every 12 you know, you might get a deal a year. And so I look up and I take 50, I divide it by 12, and I'm like, okay, that's not 167 units like you did. So somewhere either my math is wrong or you've changed the math. How can it be only 50?
Well, think about these 50 are, most of them are C-suites or business owners. So everybody on their teams are also referring us. Everybody on their teams, I am intentionally connecting with my team and they are building relationships with all of them. So it's a layered approach.
We all love people. I know that. And you're not holding these folks to a quote unquote standard. But in your mind, is there a certain number of deals or referrals that you're hoping to get per person to make the business of this work?
At least two per year.
Okay, now I get it. So that's 100 minimum.
Yes.
Does that actually happen?
It does.
Get out.
Yes, it does. And a lot of them, it will be so many more than two. So there will be some that might not be in a large enough business where they've got the scale to be able to refer a lot of people. But as long as their intention and their engagement and my relationship with them is there, I will obviously keep them because somebody else might be the C-suite of a hospital and send me every doctor that moves in and out of the hospital. So that person will send 50 to 60 a year, which will make up for somebody that might not have as much of an influence.
Okay, well, so, but if you cap it at 50, now let's say I'm in January of 25, okay? And I went through 24 and I got new people that I want to add in because you're constantly trying to meet new folks, but the thing is locked at 50. How do you decide who comes and who goes and how do you handle that?
It really is who is showing up to the relationship, right? So a relationship is a two-way street. They've got to also be adding value to me and they've got to answer. They've got to text back. They've got to show up to an event once in a while, right? If they're completely MIA, they get removed.
Got it. So they don't actually know they're in this group. And on a daily basis, you're looking up and taking inventory. Are we in a two-way relationship or am I chasing and they're running? And if you're chasing and they're running, you're not calling and having the breakup. You're simply just stopping inviting them?
That's it. And the funny thing is, I have done that over the years and they notice. And my conversation back is always, well, bro, you didn't call me back. Of course, I'm going to stop inviting you, right? But they do notice, which always amazes me because people really do pay attention, even if they don't engage.
So I promise you there's a group out there that's thinking, oh my gosh, like if I was just deeply working a group of 50 people, it might not wake up and feel like lead gen. It might just feel like organic and it might feel great. Tell me about your day.
That's the goal, right? Because we want to love life and enjoy what we do. And I don't know about you, but I hate cold calling. And I learned that early on in my career. Like I didn't want to knock on doors and I didn't want to cold call. Not knocking anybody that does, because I know it is a business model that absolutely works. But for me, I want to be able to get up and go to my gym at 5 a.m. and work out with six people that I know, like, and love. And we all take off for our day and we've had a great conversation while we work out. And then I want to go have a coffee with another VIP and learn about what's happening in their business and how can I help? And I get some nuggets of wisdom from them and then go have my team meeting and set everybody up for success and continue to teach my agents and my team how to do the same thing I'm doing so that we're building the layers. And then go list a couple of properties with some amazing people I'm in relationship with. And then hop over to a happy hour or a wine tasting with another VIP and call it a day and go home.
You've described the best day. Like that sounds like such a good day. Let me ask you this. How often are you looking to add new people in? Because look, I get the initial, which is go make my list. But once you have the list, are you organically just running into people and it takes on a life of its own? Or are you purposefully saying, okay, who's who that I don't have?
If I remove people, I intentionally refill the space. But if I'm not intentionally removing someone. What I'm currently doing and have been for the past 3 years is really pouring into my team and teaching them how to do this. And I'm now the connector with them, with other industry leaders in the community. So I'm building those layers so that the team can start doing more of it and me less of it, and I can stay with my core group of individuals.
Okay, I don't have this pillar in my business. I'm going to go start it tomorrow. What are all the things that I need to know about what my life is going to look like for the next 6 months or a year? Give me the warning labels. Prepare me.
The warning labels are you need to have some staple questions ready to go so that you're not having to use energy and thought power for every conversation or you will fatigue. You need to identify a small group. Start with 10 people in the community. You need to make sure you like these people or like what they stand for from a reputation standpoint. And then I honestly think, Jason, the very best way to start a VIP program is by hosting once a month a mastermind coffee at 7 a.m. at a local coffee shop. And you ask them to attend and come with one thing in their business that is working really well right now that they will share with other entrepreneurs or business leaders at the coffee. And then everyone feels like they're adding value. And then you've just built your whole little beginning core of your VIP list.
Absolutely genius. You know, the thing that I love about this, Haley, because you're in the Woodlands in Houston, right?
Yes.
This is like one of the most upper echelon areas in the country. It's absolutely stunning. This works in high-end markets. It works in mid-end markets. And I bet you it works in any market.
Any market, because Jason, we're all humans, right? We all have problems to solve. We all have emotions. We all have business. We all have a need to care for our families. So if we go connect with people on those levels, it will work no matter what price range or what city you live in.
Haley, you are so powerful. I love the clarity of purpose and the clarity of model that you have. Like, this is something you can wake up every day and absolutely excel in because the brilliance is found in the simplicity. You're being more human, more often with more people, and people do business with people they like.
They do. I'm so grateful to the coaches years ago that taught me how to do it because I certainly did not create it on my own. So all credit goes to them.
Well, I can't take all the credit. Haley, this is fantastic. We want to invite you to the lightning round. We want to ask you a series of questions. They're going to come at you fast. We want the first thing that comes into your mind.
Let's do it.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
Army green.
Stop the lightning round. That's the first. What do you own that's army green other than clothing? Anything?
You know, my house has army green all over it and different decor, furniture, all sorts of things.
There it is. Army green. Back in. What is your favorite food?
I'm going to go with salad.
That's the second salad sighting we've had. You and Adam Hergenrother. And I was as appalled then as I am now. What is your favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption.
Second time that happened too. And stop the lightning. Or, you know, the first time that it happened was a gentleman named Damon. If you haven't listened to his show, go do it. He spent 9 years in prison and says that that's the most realistic prison movie that's out there.
Such a good movie.
It's so good. Okay. Favorite podcast, if you're a podcast listener, doesn't have to be this one.
You know, I love this one. I listen to it all the time and you've got amazing guests. Second to that, I would probably say Tim Ferriss.
Love that. Is there a book that you think everybody should read?
E-Myth.
Why E-Myth?
E-Myth teaches you how to McDonald-ize your business. And so when you're building a real estate business and a team, to have everybody in their specialty, when I read it years and years ago, was mind-blowing. I was like, of course, I'm the pickle person. You're the bun person. This is it. So yes, E-Myth.
What's your favorite sound?
Oh, the wind blowing through the aspen trees and the mountains.
You're just not going to beat that. That's so good. Is there a place, last question, that everybody needs to vacation? I promise no one will go because you don't want to tell us what it is because you don't want it to be crowded, but I'm going to go. Where is it?
You know, I'm a mountain girl. Anywhere in the mountains. I love it. I think it's so peaceful. And what more could you ask for?
There it is. Haley, thank you for everything that you shared with us, everything you're doing for the industry, and all of the buyers and sellers that you help. We are grateful.
Thank you for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
There it is. It's another one in the books. It's so organic. Isn't it so organic? Aren't you sitting there and you're like listening to her, and in real time, you can totally tell how much she enjoys it? how much she enjoys the people that she's spending her time with, and how much she enjoys the activities that she's doing, because she looked up and understood a basic fundamental principle. People do business with people they like. Period. Haley wakes up each day asking, how do I get more likable more often with the 50 people that I believe are most influential in my marketplace? And whether it's the newsletter or the micro events or the big events or just making people feel seen and understood, she enjoys them. I mean, you hear her say, well, you know, they often become my best friends. This makes so much sense to me. Now, it would be easy to discount. It'd be easy to look up and say, yeah, I get it. She's just being really cool to 50 people. You would have missed it. It would have went right over your head if that's what you're thinking. It's about the right 50 people. It's about being purposeful around those 50 people. It's about being willing to replace someone on that list if they're not leaning back in, because relationships go both ways. It's wildly organic while at the same time being wildly systematic. That's the genius of Haley Garcia. It's not about how many, it's about who. She nails that. She's nailed it, and she's built a business around that concept. And I think she's absolutely brilliant. Friends, go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. Millionaireagentpodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.